joining us today. We are recording this meeting. This is the drug price transparency meeting. It's a listening session for us to get feedback from you, the carriers, about the program. Next slide, please. Yep. So we wanted to take a quick moment. Wanted to welcome Donna Sullivan, our Chief Pharmacy Officer, to take us through introductions.
I'm Donna Sullivan and I'm on mute. So hi, I'm the Chief Pharmacy Officer. With us from the Healthcare Authority, we have Laura Crocker, Julia Colocurio, Ryan Pistoresi, and I'm not sure if I saw Arshina on, but this is a drug price transparency team here at the Healthcare Authority that does all of the work with the reporting. And Laura is our new program, or I'm sorry, Julie is our new program manager, and that's who you'll be interacting with mostly when you're emailing to the email box. So we have a bunch of people on the phone. On the Zoom call, I'm not going to go through everybody's name. When we do get to the question and answer period, if you could use the raise your hand function, we'll then call on you to provide a comment or to ask questions. And we also ask that you try to keep your cameras off unless you're speaking, and try to keep your microphones on mute again unless you're speaking. And Annette, back to you.
Great, thanks, Donna. All right, next slide. This is our agenda. We're gonna take a quick moment to review the agenda. We're gonna provide you a short drug price transparency program overview. Next, we'll present on share information regarding reports that are outstanding, number of registrants, status of accomplishments of the program, and what's next in our journey for drug price transparency. After that, we want to hear from you, get feedback from you, and we'll share with you any additional contact information in case you don't have time to share feedback today. You can always share it with us after the meeting as well. Next slide. Just a quick overview. The Drug Price Transparency Program was directed by the legislature in Chapter 4371C RCW, and it directs HCA to implement a program related to drug costs that would be reporting through carriers, pharmacy benefit managers, drug manufacturers, and pharmacy service organizations. The purpose of this is to control costs, to be able to have share information about costs so we can make a very informed Washington state. Next slide, please. So here for you, health carriers, or carrier means a disability insurer regulated under Chapter 4820 or 4821 RCW, or a health service contractor as defined in RCW 484410, or a health maintenance organization as defined in RCW 484602. It includes insurers as a term is used in the Patient Protection and Affordability Care Act. Health plan or health benefit plan means a policy or a contract or an agreement offered by a health carrier. Whoops, back you go, right? And we also encourage health plans who are regulated under the federal rules to submit voluntarily, even if they're not required to be a mandatory submitter. Next slide. So as you know, we implemented this program and it requires sharing of information. We compile the data and we analyze the data and we prepare the annual reports for the public and legislative review to demonstrate the overall impact that the drug cost rebates and prices and discounts that have on healthcare premiums. And we make recommendations on how to provide advance notice of price increases to purchasers in the state of Washington. Donna, you want to pick up the next slide?
Sure. So the status of our accomplishments. So we implemented the program October of last year. So 2020 was the first reporting period. We posted our progress report in January of 2021. We had 17 carriers that are required to report. We received complete submissions from 14 of the carriers, and three carriers were still working on getting their reports submitted. We have completed, we're in the process of completing a validation or the program validation for carrier data, meaning if you've submitted your reports, we it's gone through the technical validation, and now we have our analysts actually going through the data that you submitted to see if the information that was provided seems to be, you know, what we were looking for. We've automated the extension request form, so it's online now. It's a fillable form. We've created a process to register and update contact information. We've solicited feedback multiple times on the submission guides, and that's something that we're also going to ask for feedback today. We have a new tech support inbox where you can send your questions regarding assistance getting a submission, and we have that support, that tech support inbox is only accessed by the individuals within the agency that are authorized to see your data. So it's not seen by the other team members that don't have permission to see the data. And then finally, we created the 182.51 WAC, and we've made one update to it, and I believe we might be making a few more changes based on feedback that we've received from other stakeholders. So next slide, please. So really what's next is the upcoming reporting session in October of 2021. We are looking for feedback on the submission guide. We want you to update your registration information. If anything has changed, if you have new contacts, make sure to get that information updated. Just a note, the passwords will probably have expired on the SFTP site that you were given, so you need to make sure that you go in and get or reset those passwords before you submit. We're finalizing the data analytics in preparation for the report that will be published in January of 2022. Next slide, please. So this is where we want to get questions or feedback from you. So does anybody, you know, want to share what was your experience submitting the reports to Healthcare Authority? How did it go? What are areas of the data submission process went well? What areas can we improve upon? What areas of communication did we do well? So I'm going to pause for a moment to see if we have anybody that wants to share or provide any feedback. Okay, so when should we update this data submission guide and share the new version with you? Like, did we give you enough time? Was, I know we implemented, put out one submission guide, I think in August for an October 1st due date for the report. Is that enough time? If not, you know, 60 days, is that enough time? 30 days? What is a good timing for submitting, for us getting the published submission guide on the website? Also, were there any data fields in the submission guide that you had a difficult time understanding or interpreting?
Okay, hey, Donna, so it looks like Edna Marie has a hand up.
Great. So, Edna Marie, go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your question.
Hi. Hi, this is Ida. So I'm in regulatory compliance and government affairs with Providence Health Plan. So I was kind of the liaison for our group and not actually the person who had to compile the report. I was trying to get in before, but I'm on my phone as well as online, so it's a little clumsy. The first thing I wanted to say that I thought the registration and having and getting, you know, set up with the secure file transfer for site was really good. I like that. I like having it really clear on where to send things. I thought that the guide was well written, having clear indication on how to label files, all of that was really good. I think where we as a company struggled the most was there was a little bit of misalignment between the written instructions in the guide and the actual structure of the templates provided. So that those things happen, and it was year one. I mean, we get it, right? But that did cause us to have files that failed, and having to do rework to try to get it to be in alignment. So from that, I would just say, just however much time you can provide in advance so that we can compare the data elements that are listed in the instructions to the actual structure of the transmission file to identify those inconsistencies in advance would be great as a process improvement. That's great. All. Thank you.
Thank you. That's very helpful. So Jane, you're next. Jane, you're on mute if you're talking.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, great. Sorry, I'm on my phone too, so I'm double mute. Well, thank you. This is Jane Douthit from Regents Blue Shield. And I just wanted to start by thanking you all for having the listening session today to start with. It's great to speak with you and have the opportunity to provide feedback and get an update on what's happening for this year. To answer your specific question directly, I think we would appreciate seeing any changes to that you're going to propose to the guide by August 1st, with at least a few weeks to review and provide comment, just so that we have the opportunity to, as a previous speaker said, compare that to what is in the templates, and also maybe run some tests with our data to make sure that it's clear to us and all of our stakeholders what needs to be done based on what's being asked of in the guide, and hopefully work out some of those kinks ahead of time. Just a couple other pieces of feedback. Wanted to say we really appreciated the flexibility you guys offered last year with the deadlines as we all worked through some of the hiccups, the submission and system issues. We appreciate that you guys recognized that and helped to be accommodating as we tried to work through it all. Some areas for improvement. We also agree that there was a little bit of misalignment between what was required in the data submission guide and then what would actually happen in validation, like the types of errors that we would get. And I think that a lot of that probably was worked out through the error process, error resolution process. And then I know HCA updated their guide, and you put out some FAQs that were super helpful as well. And so I think as long as we just have time to really do a thorough review before we get started this year with the data, that should help with that. And then I think the last piece of feedback, and I'll let someone else talk, is I think the data submission, when we get the validation email back about whether it being accepted or there being errors, I think if there's always an indication for which file name that email is for, that would be really helpful. With all of the rounds of submissions this year because of the errors and system issues, they weren't always labeled, and it was hard for us to determine which files had been accepted and which had been rejected, and keeping track of that. So that's everything for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. That's very helpful. So yes, I do admit we did run into some glitches, and I hope that we have gotten most of those technical glitches worked out. It was a fun learning experience, I think, for everyone. Chelsea Keating, you had your hand up.
Yeah, hi Donna, Chelsea Keating from Moda Health. I just wanted to say that I really appreciated Washington's following like standard compendia of like NDC level, or using terminology that's already in Metaspan. Reporting for other states, they don't follow that. And so having, you know, a standard level of data of NDC makes the standard submission much easier to do than combining NDCs or doing it at a different level.
Thank you. Okay. So how can we improve our descriptions in the data submission guide? Were there any particular items that were unclear? Is there any feedback on how we can improve on this? And Julie, I think you can go to the next slide. There's more questions. Were there fields that you thought should be nullable? Were there fields where you felt there should be a negative value? What sections of the data submission guide did you find confusing? Were the error logs helpful? And if not, I got the feedback about having the file name in the email would be helpful. Is there anything else that you can think of what you would change if you could change anything you wanted? This might be a really short listening session.
Hey Donna, there's another question from Carrie in the chat box.
Oh, I see this.
That one.
Will all LOBs be required this year? Hi, Carrie, I'm not sure what you mean by LOB. Or is that supposed to be books of business?
Line of business.
Line of business, thank you. I'm not sure what we're going to be doing with the Medicaid program, so we'll let you know as soon as possible. But otherwise, any health plan that meets the definition of a health plan is required to be reported. Medicare is not required to be reported, nor is Medicaid. However, you can voluntarily report if you so choose to do so. Any more questions? I have a question or a comment from Skylar from Premera Blue Cross and Lifewise requesting a minimum of 60 days. It is our goal to get the submission guide submitted the 1st of August. And so that'll give you 60 days to review, ask any questions, and get your report submitted. We ask that you, if you have any questions or comments, that you submit them back to us within 30 days of us posting it so that we have a chance to make those changes and get it reposted for the rest of the users who will be using that. Any other questions or comments or feedback? Jane, go ahead.
Thank you. Sorry, I was waiting to make sure I didn't take up anyone else's time. But I think I heard you mention perhaps at the beginning, and if you could confirm, that would be great, that you're still working through some of the manual validation of the files from last year. Was that right?
Yes, we are still working through some of that manual program validation is what we call it.
Okay, so is it possible that carriers could still be contacted with questions about the data from last year?
It's possible, yes. We only have really two that have not submitted reports. There is some cleaning up of the data. What we have found on our end is, you know, the label name or the ingredient field was kind of a mess where the different carriers, you know, would use a different naming convention. So it wasn't like a one-to-one. So we're taking the NDC and pulling in information from MediSpanner First Data Bank so that we can get a clean data element. There's other elements that were a little confusing as well from our end. So we're going through that program validation. And that's why we're asking some of these specific questions, like based on the feedback or what we've received or are seeing in the reports, it sounded like there might have been some confusion or misunderstanding of what we were trying to ask for. So that's why we were asking. And if you don't have any information now or feedback now, you can always email it to the Drug Price Transparency mailbox if there are things that looked confusing.
Okay, and I would just offer too that if there is specific areas that you guys are not getting the data you were hoping, or not being able to have that one-to-one comparison across carriers, just happy to help with that, answer questions, or if you're looking for some guidance about what maybe might help with setting definitions so that you get something meaningful for your program, for your report.
Great, thank you. Skylar.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Skylar from Primera. I wanted to answer one of your questions about were there any fields that should allow for negative values? And we would encourage negative values to be allowed in the premium template. And that would really be able to identify cases where there's a decrease in the proportion of premium from a claim category from year to year. I believe we had that in our submission last year, but in order to really accurately represent those premiums, that would be great if we could continue to do that for this year.
Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Was the error log helpful? Or was it not helpful? Because we don't have to do that if it's tons of work and not useful. We want to know if it's useful. Did any of you guys use the error log?
It looks like Jane found it useful. Great, thank you, Skylar. We will continue to give those error logs out with you. And if we have a program validation that we need or a question on, we'll provide, we'll have them manually create a similar type of error log. But for the most part, I think the data is looking pretty good. There was just a few, like I said, a few data elements where we didn't quite get what we were expecting. So Julie, can you go to the next slide? So what I wanted to, I think there's another email address. Laura, do you know what the drug trace, the tech email address is?
I do, I'm putting it in the chat right now.
Okay, so if you have questions, so when we send out the error log, if you have questions regarding the data that you submitted or what was actually expected to be in the, what the template was supposed to have, how the data was formatted, please send it to the Drug Price Transparency Tech Support mailbox. And that is, managed by Arshina, who is one of our business analysts in this area, and she's can help provide you with the technical support in getting the proper information submitted in those templates. So it's dpttechsupport@hca.wa.gov, and it doesn't matter if you use capital letters or lowercase letters. Again, that's dpttechsupport@hca.wa.gov. So there are two T's in the email address. Any other questions or comments?
Okay. Yes, this is Jane Douthat again. Just one last thing came to mind. If you had examples of the data that you didn't expect, that you didn't get that you were expecting, or there was inconsistency across carriers, if you had any examples, that would be helpful for us too.
Hey, Ryan, do you have any examples?
Not off the top of my head. I think, you know, as we are going through the data, we are understanding what ones can be, you know, standardized, like with the Medispan nomenclature versus, you know, what we're seeing with some of the rankings. And I think if Dylan were on, he may be able to explain that better than I can. But we are looking at that, and we'd be happy to provide examples once we are ready.
I think one of the examples, and I'm just trying to remember vaguely what Arshina had told me, was the percent of WAC, where we might have asked what your reimbursement rate was and a percentage off of WAC, or a percent of WAC for a rebate. I'm not exactly sure, but I believe that was one of the fields that seemed to have information that we were it was interpreted differently by multiple carriers. So what I've written down though as a takeaway, we'll try to get a list of those, and I apologize, I didn't make sure that Arshina was available today. And we'll try to get a list of those that we found that were, I guess, not exactly what we were expecting. And we can potentially share that with you and say, this is what we got and this is what we expected to get. And make that part of the either FAQ or a tech document that's available for you to view on the website.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great. That way we could maybe think about some feedback for your guide that might help provide you a little more consistency across carriers too.
Great, that would be much appreciated. Anything else from the group? Okay, well, I think we'll go ahead and end early then. Thank you everyone for joining. Really appreciate the feedback. If you think of something that you didn't get to share today, please email it to us. We're in the process of updating the billing guide now with the goal of getting it posted by August 1st. Well, if we get it finished sooner, we will definitely give post it sooner. So thank you very much. Annette, thank you for co-hosting, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody.